Ja, das ist ein bisschen wie aber es ist dabei, dann habe ich mehr. Who can remember why the Murji'a are called Murji'a? Why they're given that title? What does that title indicate? The Murji'a from Al-Kirjia. Which means ta'khir, putting something, postponing something, putting something back. It's because of their practice of murji'a, they put actions outside iman. They put actions as being outside of iman. Sheikh Fawzan mentioned that the murji'a are a number of different groups, and each of them holds, or each of these major groups holds, alayhi salam, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Each of them holds a different thing with regard to the definition of Iman. Who can remember out of those four things from the four sects of the Murji'ah that were mentioned, who can remember the worst thing? Shaykh al-Fawzan said this is the worst thing, the most foul thing from all of the four. Who can remember who was saying that one? The definition of Iman, which is the worst definition of Iman from all those four. Yeah. The worst of them was the saying, it's just awareness of Allah in the heart. The person has awareness of Allah, that is Iman. That's categorized as Iman. Who can remember who held this saying? Whose saying is this? That Iman is just awareness of Allah. That person is aware in his heart of Allah's existence, aware of Allah. Then he's a believer. Whose saying is that? Of the Jahmiyyah, and then some of the people of knowledge mention, and it's held by some of the extreme Sufis these days. Some of the extreme Sufis, they hold that belief. It's not that a person has awareness of his heart of Allah. That's why you classify some of the extreme Sufis and Tablighis and the like, declaring so and so, this unbeliever is a Muslim, and that unbeliever, that kafir over there is a Muslim. Why? Because he recognized Allah and with regard to this part of creation, or so on and so forth, based upon their evil belief. That is just awareness of Allah. If somebody has awareness of Allah, then he's a believer. He's a mu'min, to say. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said this is the worst of the four things. Who can remember, that was the first of the four things that he mentioned, who can remember the second saying? Each of these things adds a little bit to the previous one. Who can remember, or some of them do, who can remember the second saying in definition of Iman? The definitions of the Murji'ah. No. The tasdeeq, the attestation, the thing of the Ash'aris, with regard to it being tasdeeq, the belief of the heart or attestation of the heart. Affirmation of the heart. It's been the saying of the Ash'ari, the Ash'ariyah. Who can remember? Because he got to the first saying, the first thing, the saying of the Jahmiyyah, they're saying that awareness of the heart, that is Iman. What would this necessitate? Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned something that would necessitate. What evil would that necessitate? The awareness of Allah is Iman. That would necessitate what? With regard to certain individuals. Or? Yeah, but the saying of the Jahmiyyah, that awareness in the heart, just awareness somewhere in the heart of Allah, that is Iman, and the person who has that is a believer. This would necessitate that Fir'aun was a believer, that Iblis was a believer, in fact, that all them believers. Everyone who has the merest awareness of Allah in his heart would be a believer. So there wouldn't remain any unbelievers upon the face of the earth upon their saying. And then likewise, the saying of the Asha'ira, that the iman is tasdeeq, affirmation of the heart, this would also necessitate the Fir'aun and Abu Talib and many unbelievers would also be believers upon their saying, because we have the ayah that the Shaykh brought in the explanation with regard to people of Fir'aun and his people. They denied Allah's signs, and yet their hearts were certain of the truth of those signs, so within their hearts they had affirmation, but they were not believers. Who can remember the third saying of the Murji'ah? The third thing, where they add something slightly to it, they add something to what preceded. And the third thing is that they categorically, those who say from the Murji'ah, those in the, all of these are categories of the Murji'ah. The third of them being those who say that Iman is affirmation of the heart, but with expressing it upon the tongue. So affirmation of the heart, they say, is not sufficient, not enough. The person has to express it upon his tongue. If he carries these two, affirmation of the heart and expression upon the tongue, then he's a believer. And this they mention as being the saying of the Murji'atul Fuqaha, the Murji'ah of the jurists, and amongst them being the Hanafis. They hold this position. That being the third category of the Murji'ah. And who can remember the fourth saying, the fourth and last saying that Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned from the sayings of the Murji'ah? Who can remember that?
Speech of the tongue and the actual of
hey. Yep, please. Yeah, those who say it's just attestation of the tongue. They say Iman is just attestation upon the tongue. And what would that necessitate? Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned this would necessitate that if we say Iman is just what someone says upon his tongue, if he utters the Shahada, for example, upon his tongue, this will necessitate what? This would necessitate that the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, were believers, because they say that attest to the truth upon their tongues, but without having iman in their hearts. And this was the saying that it's just attestation of the tongue. This was the saying of the Karamiyya, a deviant sect, the Karamiyya. The Imam Ibn Qudama, he mentioned the ayah from Surah Al-Bayyinah, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَقُودُ اللَّهُ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاءَ وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةُ وَيُؤْتُ الزَّكَاةُ وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةِ. The ayah from Surah Al-Bayyinah, with the explanation, and they were not commanded except that they should worship Allah alone, making their religion purely and sincerely for Him, following the true religion of Tawheed, avoiding shirk, and that they establish the prayer and give the zakat, and that is a straight and true religion. The Imam brings it in this chapter here of Iman, where he's discussing what is Iman, and likewise Shaykh al-Fawzan uses it as evidence here for the position of the people of the Sunnah. How is the ayah a position, how is the ayah an evidence for the people of the Sunnah with regard to what they say about Iman? How is it an evidence? If you mention this to someone, that look, this ayah is a proof. It's a proof for what the people of the Sunnah say about Iman. And they simply turn to you and say, well, how is it a proof? In what way is this ayah a proof? What's the answer? In other words, why is it brought by the author in the book, and how is it an evidence?
The ayah proves that the Jama'ah is supposed to be Iman.
The action, speech, and belief in the
heart.
Yeah. In what way? How though?
How?
Which part?
You break the ayah down, then it proves
the
three things, isn't it?
Yeah. Who's going to break it down? Yeah, but the Lord is saying, the ayah contains things which are beliefs of the heart, it contains things which are sayings of the tongue, and it contains things which are actions. All of these being described as the deen. As as being the true and straight deen. So all of these being from Iman. Which is which? Which one's action? Where's an action of the heart? Where's an action of the heart? Action or belief of the heart in the eye? Al-Ikhlas. Purity and sincerity of intention for Allah the Most High. Al-Ikhlas. Mukhlisina lahuddin. So Ikhlas is actually of the heart, something of the heart. But what about speech of the tongue? An action? Obviously, salah includes act, speech of the act. The salah includes words upon the tongue, and it includes actions of the limbs. And obviously, the zakat is an action of the limbs. Likewise, the hadith that the Imam used as a proof as well, hadith of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Iman is of 70 branches. How is that a proof that Iman is beliefs of the heart, speech of the tongue, and action of the limbs? Where is the proof for each of these? Where is the proof in that hadith? Or beliefs of the heart.
The last of them is removing something on the path. Okay. So it proves that it increases and decreases.
No, so. As for the point of the belief of people of Sunnah that Iman increases and decreases, then with regard to the last action mentioned, for example, that Allah's Messenger of Allah made removing that which is harmful from the path a branch of Iman. So in other words, if a person does that, his Iman is greater, is higher than a person who doesn't do that. Who can remember though, in the hadith, with the full wording of the hadith, an evidence for beliefs of the heart entering into Iman? So obviously not the full wording is quoted here, yeah? So we need to remember the full wording. Sometimes in explanation Sheikh Al-Fawzan will mention the full wording, so we need to pay attention and notice that sometimes the author will just restrict himself to mention a part of the hadith. Obviously the evidence for a belief of the heart is the completion of the hadith that wal-haya'u shu'bah min al-iman, and haya', sense of shame, is a branch of Iman. So that's a proof for beliefs of the heart entering into Iman. And sayings of the tongue, the proof for sayings of the tongue entering into Iman from the hadith. The saying that the beginning of the hadith, the highest part, the highest branch is testification that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. And action of the limbs. Removing that which is harmful from the path. Then the Imam Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, he continued on what occurs on this Egyptian edition with the printing errors, page 185, and on the Saudi edition, page 182. Then the Imam Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, he continued. So the Imam continues on what page 185 of this edition and somewhere else in the Saudi edition. فَجَعَلَ الْقَوْلَ وَالْعَمَلَ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. So we have the hadith. وَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ الْإِيمَانُ بِضْعٌ وَسَبْعُونَ شُعْبَةً أَعْلَاهَا شَهَادَةُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَدْنَاهَا إِمَاطَةُ الْأَذَى عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ فَجَعَلَ الْقَوْلَ وَالْعَمَلَ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. So Allah's Messenger sallallahu, he said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Iman is of 70 and odd branches. The highest of them is the testification that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and the lowest of them is removing that which is harmful from the path. So he made speech and action from Iman. Then we have the explanation of that. Then the Imam said, to get back all the stuff, وقال تعالى فزادتهم إيمانا. He said, and he the Most High said, فزادتهم إيمانا. The ayah from Surah Tawbah, the ninth surah, ayah 124. He said, and he the Most High said, the ayah with the explanation, so it increased them in Iman. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَزَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. First part of the ayah with the explanation, so as for those who believed, then it increased them in Iman. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this ayah is a proof that Iman increases, and that it is not something which is one and the same, as is said by the Murji'ah. I mean, this person has Iman, that person has Iman, they've all got exactly the same thing. There's no difference between that person's Iman, that person's Iman. So Shaykh is saying, no, this ayah is a proof that Iman increases, and it is not something that is just one and the same, as is said by the Murji'ah. Rather, it is something which varies in level. It increases and it decreases. And his saying, فَزَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا, this ayah of the text, with the explanation, so that increased them in Iman, clearly shows that Iman increases because of the descent of the Qur'an, and hearing it and acting in accordance with it. In other words, when these ayahs came down, the more ayahs came down, then the more the believers, the more the companions increased in Iman. The more the ayahs came down, the more they increased, and the more they heard it, and the more they acted upon it. Then the Imam Ibn Qudamah quotes the further evidence. He said, وَقَالْ لِيَزْدَادُ إِيمَانًا. Surah Al-Fath, 48th surah, ayah 4. Said, and he said, this ayah with the explanation, so that they should increase in Iman. So that they should increase in Iman. And Shaykh al-Fawzan, in his explanation, he quotes the part of the ayah before that, هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لِيَزْدَادُوا إِيمَانًا مَعَ إِيمَانِهِمْ. Same ayah, Surah Al-Fath, 48th surah, ayah 4. With the explanation, He, Allah, is the one who sent down tranquility into the hearts of the believers so that they should increase in Iman along with their Iman. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and that was with regard to the incident of Al-Hudaybiyah and what occurred in it with regard to the test for the believers, and that the unbelievers prevented them from performing Umrah and from entering Makkah. However, Allah the Majestic and Most High sent down As-Sakina, He sent down tranquility into their hearts. And they submitted to the command of Allah and His Messenger. And they submitted to the peace treaty along with the unbelievers, even though they did not want it. Even though the Muslims, they didn't want that peace treaty with the people of Makkah, the unbelievers of Makkah. They didn't like it, they didn't want it. However, they submitted, as the Shaykh said, they submitted to the peace treaty. They submitted to the command of Allah and His Messenger. They submitted to the peace treaty, even though they did not want it. However, they submitted to it in obedience to Allah and in obedience to His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whilst they disliked the peace treaty and they wanted to enter Makkah. Obviously, as a side point, if you remember, the part of the peace treaty was the Muslims came at the incident of Hudaybiyah, Muslims came to perform Umrah only, to enter Makkah and perform Umrah. The unbelievers of Quraysh, they prevented them. So peace treaty was arranged, and one of the conditions was that the Muslims were not allowed to perform Umrah that year. They had to return, they had to go back to Medina without entering Makkah. So the Shaykh said they disliked the peace treaty and they wanted to enter Makkah. However, Allah made good, Allah placed good in this treaty for the Muslims and humiliation for the unbelievers. So He made its final outcome something good. And one of the greatest of the results produced by this peace treaty was that the war between the Muslims and the unbelievers stopped, to give the Muslims a pause to take a breath. And those who performed the hijrah, those who migrated to Al-Madinah, did so without any harm. I mean, after the peace treaty, before the peace treaty, it was difficult. But after, whoever wanted to make hijrah, wanted to migrate to Al-Madinah, did so without any trouble. And whoever wanted to enter into Islam, entered into it. And he did not meet anyone who would prevent him because of this peace treaty. And in the end, the clear victory occurred. The conquest of Makkah the Honorable. And its entry into the rule and authority of the Muslims. And the removal of the hand of the unbelievers from it. All of these were from the fruits of this tremendous peace treaty, which the Muslims disliked. The point the Shaykh is making, that when the Treaty of Hudaybiyah was made, that the Muslims, the companions, some of them, all they could see was that we're being prevented from performing Umrah, we're being sent back from Mecca, we're having to give in to demands from the unbelievers. So some of the companions, they didn't like it, they disliked this treaty, they didn't want the treaty, but they submitted. Out of obedience to Allah and out of obedience to His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they submitted to the treaty. They didn't raise any trouble, they submitted. So the Shaykh just mentioned here all the results that came about, the great fruits that came about as a result of it, that the Muslims didn't see, but they occurred later on. Muslims couldn't see that these things were going to happen, but Allah made these things fruits from this treaty. So He said, however, Allah made its final outcome good for them, and the Muslims complied with the judgment of Allah and His Messenger. And Allah sent down tranquility in their hearts, so no contrary acts or actions resulting from their emotions came about from them. In regard to this treaty, Allah sent down tranquility into the hearts of the believers, so they accepted it. They didn't do any acts contrary, and they didn't do any actions based upon Hamas, based upon emotions. He said, and Allah, the Majestic and Most High, sent down tranquility into their hearts. So they were calm and settled, and they submitted. Even though many of them were not pleased with this peace treaty, because they thought that it was a loss for the Muslims, and they did not know that Allah would make it honor for the Muslims, honor and might for the Muslims, and that the final outcome would be good for the Muslims. So this shows that the person who submits to the judgment of Allah and His Messenger and complies with it, that his iman increases through that. His iman increases through that. Obviously, so the Shaykh here has given the context of the ayah brought by the author. لِيَزْدَادُ إِيمَانَ هُوَ الَّذِي أَنْزَلَ السَّكِينَةِ فِي قُلُوبِ اللَّهِ في قلوب المؤمنين ليزدادوا إيمانا مع إيمانهم. The explanation, He, Allah, is the one who sent down tranquility into the hearts of the believers so that they should increase in Iman along with their Iman. And they were already believers, they already had Iman, but through this incident, then they increased in Iman. Then the Imam Ibn Qudamah, rahimahullah, he brings the last text in this particular chapter. He said, وَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَخْرُجُ مِنَ النَّارِ مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَفِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالُ ذُرَّةٍ أَوْ خَرْدَلَةٍ أَوْ ذَرَّةٍ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ فَجَعَلَهُ مُتَفَاضِلًا. He said, and Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever says La ilaha illallah, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and he has iman of the weight, he has iman of the weight of a grain of corn, and he has iman rather of the weight of a grain of wheat or of a mustard seed or of a tiny amount, then he will come out from the fire. So he made it something which has different levels. Repeat that. And Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever says none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and he has iman of the weight of a grain of wheat or of a mustard seed in his heart or of a tiny amount, then he will come out from the fire. So he made it something which has different levels. Then the Imam Ibn Qudamah, rahimahullah, the Shaykh of Al-Zan, hafizahullah, he explains this, and this numbering goes haywire yet again here. The explanation starts at the bottom of page 186. أخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه to the end. That's where point number one should be here. That's where the explanation starts. It starts on this page here, not on the next page. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said, in explanation, The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed that there will be brought out of the fire on the day of resurrection those who say La ilaha illallah, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. And with regard to the hadith, the reference for the hadith, and they bring that on the next page here, reported by Imam Ahmad is Musnad, and Al-Bukhari number 44, and Muslim, and At-Tirmidhi from a hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. And Sheikh Badr al-Badr hafizahullah, in his checking, he points out that the wording that the author brings here is very close to the wording of Al-Bukhari and Muslim. It's not exactly that wording, but the wording of Al-Bukhari and Muslim is very close to it. So then Shaykh Fawzan said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed that they will be brought out of the fire on the day of resurrection, those who say La ilaha illallah, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, whilst he had iman in his heart, in its meaning, whilst he believed in its meaning, and he had certainty upon what it indicates, and there will come out of the fire whoever has in his heart a seed, the weight of a seed of iman, whilst he is certain of the meaning of this saying, contrary to the person who just says it with his tongue and he does not hold it as his belief. He does not hold its meaning as his belief. Like the hypocrites, munafiqeen. For it will not benefit them. The person says this kalima, but he doesn't believe its meaning in his heart. It will not benefit him. Like the hypocrites, munafiqeen. It will not benefit them. So this contains the reputation of those who say that iman is just saying upon the tongue, and it contains the reputation of those who hold that iman is just affirmation of the heart, tasdiq only, and that it is something which is one and the same. It does not increase and does not decrease. Then he explains how it is a proof for that iman increases and decreases, not just one and the same thing. He said, because Allah the Most High will say to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أخرج من كان في قلبه أدنى 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 مثقال حبة من خردل من إيمان. Allah the Most High will say to his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, take out from the fire whoever has in his heart the slightest mustard seed of iman in his heart. In a footnote they mentioned, this is reported by Al-Bukhari, hadith 7510, and reported by Muslim, also from a hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. He said, this is a proof that iman, the iman of this person who's taken out like that, those people are like that, they've got the slightest mustard seed of iman in their heart, this is a proof that this iman is weak. And yet, since it is combined along with the saying that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and with belief in its meaning, then it will benefit that person and cause him to be brought out from the fire after he has entered it. Because no one will remain forever in the hellfire except the people of shirk and kufr. No one will remain forever in the fire except the people of shirk and those who disbelieve in Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And as for the people of iman, that even if their iman is very weak, and even if they enter the fire on account of their sins, then they will not remain forever in it. Rather, they will be taken out from it through their iman. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and the witness from the hadith, as the author mentioned, is that iman can become very weak until it is of the level of a mustard seed. So this is in refutation of those who say that iman is just one thing, that is one and the same, it does not vary, and that it is an action of the heart alone. So this hadith again is another proof against all of that. And that's where Shaykh al-Fawzan ends explanation on this chapter, and then the chapter which follows is with regard to some specific iman in the ghaib, the hidden and the unseen. And just as a side point before we just finish, then some of the scholars such as Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, they point out that what brought about the misguidance in this matter here, the matter of iman, and the definition of iman, that what brought about, obviously this chapter here contains a refutation of the Murji'ah in particular, but then as we know there are other deviant sects who deviated with regard to the matter of iman, amongst them the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila. The point that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah makes is that the point that brought about the misguidance of the Murji'ah, the ones who refuted here, and the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, was their false idea about iman, that it is just one entity that does not separate, and that if a part of it departs, all of it departs. This was an idea shared between all of those three groups, and even though in their conclusions they took opposite extremes, the Murji'ah took the one extreme and the Khawarij and Mu'tazila took the other extreme, but they agreed upon this point: iman is one solid thing, it can't have parts, you either got it or you don't. If one part goes, it's all gone. So their deviation sprang from that. So based upon that, the Murji'ah said that if a person, if he commits sins, if he commits major sins, it doesn't matter, he still has his iman. His iman is still there. We don't say that any of it has departed from him. He's still got his iman, because they've got actions outside iman. And at the other extreme, the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, and they say the person who commits major sins, then because of that, his iman goes altogether. His iman goes altogether. And the Khawarij say, and the Imam will deal with them in a later chapter, in particular the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila. But just with regard to this matter of iman, it's interesting to note, as Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah points out, the point of their deviation is at this point here. They think that iman is just one solid entity. If one part goes, it all goes. And if that happens, then the Khawarij say the person who commits major sin and his iman has all gone, he's a kafir. And the Mu'tazila say he has departed from iman and he's in the position between the two positions. And in the hereafter, the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila both say he'll be in the fire forever. So they both, their deviation springs from this misunderstanding of this point. And again, some of the people of knowledge mention that they bring an example here to try and back up what they say, that iman is just one solid thing, you either have it or you don't have it. And they give an example, they say, like a person, a human person. They say, if you chop his head off, will he be a person anymore? His head is a part of him. But if you chop his head off, will he still be a person or not? Of course, he'll be dead, he won't be a person. So the like of the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, they say that's an evidence for us. Iman is the same, iman is one solid thing. If you chop their head off, if you chop apart, all of it goes. And the people of knowledge, they refute this in at least two ways. They say, first and foremost, the example for iman, if we want to give an example to picture iman, then we should give the example given by Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was the example of the tree which has branches in the hadith that we heard, الإيمان بضع وسبعون شعبة. The iman is of 70 odd branches. The highest of them being testification that man has the right to worship except Allah. The lowest of them being removing that which is harmful from the path. And haya, sense of shame, is a branch of iman. So Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the example of a tree. So we should stick to the example that he gave, the example of a tree. And just as the tree has that which is vital, if you cut the trunk off, I mean the parts of iman, like the saying la ilaha illallah, if a person doesn't have that, he doesn't have any iman at all. That's like the trunk of the tree, the very root and trunk of the tree, if you cut it off, it all goes. But it has other parts, it has branches and leaves. If you chop a little branch off, the tree is there, but the tree is deficient in accordance with how many branches you chop off. And then they refute even the example that the like of the Khawarij and Mu'tazila bring. The scholars refute that as well. They say, if we even look at the example of a person that they bring, they bring an example of a person. They say a person. No doubt, if you chop his head off, he'll be dead. He won't be a person anymore. However, if you chop his finger off, then he will be a person. He'll be a person deficient to the extent of the finger. If you chop his arm off, he'll be still a person, but deficient to the extent of the arm which you've chopped off. So even their example is a proof against them. There are certain parts of the person, if you chop it off, he's no longer a person. But there are other parts, just like the tree, that if you chop a part off, a small part, then he'll still be a person, but he'll be deficient. So this saying that they try and bring is just a proof against them. Just a general point here, that just in case anyone not realised by now, at the end of the lesson, as I say now, if there are any clarifications of what we covered, then please come on, please ask for any clarifications. As for questions outside what we've taken, then I don't welcome questions outside what we've taken. I certainly don't welcome questions off the topic altogether. The like of this should have been yesterday. Yesterday or next Sunday, when we get in touch with people of knowledge, like Sheikh Hudayan. So if you've got questions, then ask the people of knowledge. Don't ask a translator to translate your book for you. Ask people of knowledge, inshallah. So if this question's been passed to me, then I've got no intention of answering it at all. So unless the brother passed this question, wants something different doing, I'm giving it to a brother to place with the questions for Sheikh Hudayan. I assume it's from a sister. If the sister doesn't want the question to ask Sheikh Hudayan, then get in touch with the brothers and say stop the questions. Okay. So any clarifications of what we had in the lesson? The point was from, I'm quoting this very quickly from the book of Sheikh Abdul Razak ibn Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad, his book on the increase of Iman. So he brings a chapter there on his point about the Khawarij and Mu'tazila, and he mentions these quotes from Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah in his book Al-Aqidah al-Asbahaniyyah. That's where Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentions these points. And he just made the point that all these three groups, even though in the conclusion they take opposite extremes, the murji'ah, the person who commits major sin, the murji'ah say he's a perfect believer. An evil doing Muslim is a Muslim who commits major sins, the murji'ah say he's a perfect believer. Nothing wrong with the iman, he's a perfect believer. The Khawarij say he's a kafir outside Islam. And in the hereafter he'll be in the fire forever. And the Mu'tazila say he's left iman behind. He's now in a position between iman and kufr. And in the hereafter he'll be in the hellfire forever. So they take opposite positions. But the point that they derive it from is the false principle which they agree upon, that iman is just one solid thing. It doesn't vary. It doesn't increase and decrease. It doesn't have parts. So if a part of it goes, I mean the whole of it is gone. But Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah just mentions the principle, that they agree upon this principle. That's where they go wrong. They say iman is one entity that does not separate. And if a part of it departs, all of it departs. So all those three groups, they hold that. That was from Shaykh Santini. The rest is just... Next week I'm being told the circles are at 8 o'clock in Shaw. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. كان الشيخ الآن المجتمع يعني هذه الألفاظ ما تبين.